Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I'm beginning a new series for the summer. We are preaching through the book of Matthew. We will resume Matthew in September, but for the summer month, we're going to go through a new series, and I really feel God has really embedded this series in my heart, and it begins with this: position yourself for greatness. How are we going to position ourselves for greatness? We're going to honor the I wills. We're going to honor the things that we should be doing. And so we're going to go through that every Sunday. You don't want to miss any. If you're on vacation, and when you come back, go online, and you will always be able to hit on demand. Live is what they're watching now. On demand is the minute the service is over. You can go on demand and see the service again. So today I begin with this one: honor what is right and reject injustices. Means honor justice and reject injustices. Honor what is right. Injustice is the opposite of justice. And the definition of justice is simply this: doing what is right. What is right? So doing what's wrong is injustice. Doesn't matter what we say or how we justify it. If it's wrong, it's injustice. Justice is when we possess the quality of doing what is correct, and when in everything we do, we are fair and reasonable. This is something we need to keep in mind. In everything we do, we are fair and reasonable. I should have that on the screen for you, because I want you to remember, in everything we do, we must be fair and reasonable. Fair and reasonable means it cannot be about ourselves or just those around us or those we choose to love, but reasonable must be extended to everyone, everywhere. There are times when we subject laws and rules and guidelines and restrictions and demands on some people, but we would never put the same on ourselves or on others, and that is injustice. Yes? The Bible states in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, I'm going to read it in a moment, that in 2020, I preached through this book of Hebrews and reminded us that Christ is superior to all things because of his deity. But he in his deity also has engrafted us into him so that we are strong and we are positioned powerfully, and that we're reminded that everything Christ did, we should do. So here's what he says in Hebrews 1 verse 9. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God your God will anoint you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. What he's saying here, the writer of Hebrews, which we studied already, there is joy and joyfulness in true justice. When we live in true justice, there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no hatred, there's no anger, there's no unhappiness. Unhappiness comes because of injustice. But when we love justice and hate evil, we have joy and joyfulness, which means pleasure. We live in pleasure, that we live in a true happiness. Happiness is quantifiable by how we know the Lord. Because it doesn't matter how much money you have, money cannot make you happy, but the joy of the Lord can make you happy. This, folks, is an extremely secularized world that we've now grown into. I'm not just going to say we live in. We are now growing into an extremely secularized world where the systems of the world dominates everything, and where the systems of justice are absolutely not justice at all. In fact, the world establishes justice based on what the people with an agenda want to accomplish in their own pleasureful desires, and most often in a sinful lifestyle. But justice is never done just for one. Justice is always extended to all. That's what makes the difference. When Christ hung on the cross, he hung for the worst of sinners. He hung for all. That is true justice. Justice is pure and powerful. Justice is right and it is all-encompassing. But injustice is harmful. It is dreadful. It is low. And it is done by petty people. Did I say it? It's done by who? Not pretty people. Petty. Justice does not honor some people and then despise others. Justice does not take the rights of some people away so that the rights of others can be fulfilled. Justice sees both sides of the coin and grants each individual on earth the opportunity to experience what honorable justice intertwined with love, mercy, and joy looks like. That is the real thing. Justice is born out of love. Therefore, where hatred exists, true justice is absolutely non-existent. That is tweetable. Somebody send that to Elon Musk. It is. Justice is born out of love. And where hatred exists, true justice is absolutely non-existent. That is why the scriptures declare to us, those who love justice must hate evil. If you love justice, we must hate evil. And the Bible continues to emphasize that when people love justice, they can feel the oil of joy being poured on them, meaning that they feel elated at what they're able to accomplish, not for themselves alone, but for others, not for a select few, but for the entirety of God's creation. Hear me now, this is an important factor where you know where justice is right or injustice is occurring. When it's only for one generation, never considering the other generations, it's not justice. Justice considers the generations. How will my decision today impact the generation tomorrow? How will my decision today impact the generation four generations from now? That is true justice when we put our own agenda aside and we say, for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of the future, for the sake of the generations, even the babies not yet born, this is what is right. So true justice encompasses all, and therefore it is never singularly subjective. There's a lot of agendas right now that are singularly subjective. That is not justice, and I need the church to know what true justice is. So when we speak or when we begin to change our language to match the language of others, we check ourselves and know what is right and what is wrong. Justice is doing what is right. There's my amen. I'm going to do it myself today. Remember, I told you I'm a multitasker. The staff will tell you I'm always doing two things. So today I'm going to purpose to preach and give an amen. I want you to imagine this with me. Imagine this. Just let your mind roll for a moment. Up to this point of our lives, we have never up to this point in these decades, this last decade, we've never seen programs geared to children that dictate that little boys should kiss little girls. Hear me? Track with me. We've never, up to this decade, seen where we would promote little boys kissing little girls. Morality dictated that this would be left until they reach a mature age of understanding of their behavior, and that they're able to understand the implications of awakening their sexuality. Morality dictated that we didn't do certain things because they're too young to understand what happens when you awaken your sexuality too early. Anybody with me? Yet today, in disguise of seeking justice for those who've been marginalized, national television stations are gearing programs of sexuality to young children, opening and awakening their sexuality when they don't even know what it is and they've not yet come to an age of maturity or understanding. That is destructive to future generations. It will never be able to be curbed because what you open, they don't know how to close. clothes, so they're not thinking of how it damages the young mind and the young lives into the future. That is not justice, that is injustice. The world's concept of justice is to demand that everyone accepts a personalized agenda, even when that person considers it to be wrongdoing. And this is a one-way compromise that is commanded and demanded despite strong moral beliefs. We're not even talking now about spiritual beliefs. We're talking morality. When morality has been stripped, it's because spirituality has been too low. Don't nod your head and you're not even showing up to pray outside. Injustice is not seen when deliberate demands are made, especially against Christianity. It's funny how everything is unjust as long as it's worldly. But if it's against Christianity, it's okay. Because Christians have too much. Do you know that that's some of the laws now that we have too much? I'm sorry. Is justice taking away what others have and not giving them their own right? I know one day, dear God, Father, cover me in the blood, but I'm going to tell you, I'm a woman. Don't ever tell me that I ain't that one. Say who you are, declare what you want. Name yourself, label yourself, give yourself a title, but don't take my title away. I'm a woman, a woman. That's who I am. You be who you are, you say who you are, but I know who I am. Why can't I keep my title and be who I am? Cover me in the blood, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Injustice is when I have to give up my right for somebody else to have theirs. Justice is when they can have their rights and I can have mine too. Are we in agreement here today? People have become so callous and so unconcerned for the mental, emotional, and future sexual stability of society that they will destroy all moral standings now to gain a right which in a few years will destroy the other generations. You see, it's not that this, some things are wrong, it's that how it's being accomplished. You know what I still laugh at? I still laugh. I don't know about you, but every so often I will burst a laugh. Imagine a couple of years ago, I remember I was living in Mississauga then, when women were walking downtown protesting to be bare-breasted in the downtown core. Just think of it. Online, shocking if you're from another country, yes. We had women who were protesting that women should have the right to be bare-breasted in the city center. I remember a friend of mine, he called and he said, Pastor, I saw one. And he goes, I'm going to go. It's a family friend. He says, Pastor, I'm calling to confess I'm going home to have a drink because it was ugly. I said, why do you need a drink? He goes, you got to get that out of your mind, Pastor. It wasn't appealing. It wasn't morally right. It wasn't helping generations. It wasn't helping the families with their children going in for a medical appointment at sick kids or anything. It was about an individual agenda, which today, the other question I had is, why didn't they do it in December? The definition of justice is doing what is right. Justice happens when we possess the quality of doing what is correct with a what? Reasonable and fair attitude. The story in Luke chapter 23, I'm going to go through it very quickly. I'm just using it as a pointer. This is Luke 23, 13 to 16. It's the story of Jesus Christ facing Pilate. It says, then Pilate called together the leading priests, other religious leaders, along with the people, and he announced his verdict. You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence, and I find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for death penalty, so I will have him flogged and then release him. I read this, and this is a powerful Easter message. But he says, I've examined him thoroughly, and on this point, in your presence, I find him innocent, and so did Herod. But since y'all need something, I'll flog him. I'm thinking, why is Jesus getting flogged when you just said he's innocent? Doesn't the innocent go free? Do you see how injustice works? Injustice says, it's wrong, but I'm going to do it this way and let you be persecuted because I still just want to make everybody happy. We're in a day where it's all about making everybody happy while some have to suffer for that happiness. Why did Jesus have to be flogged? Oh, that's a good one, Christy. Write that down for me. That will come at Easter. Why did Jesus have to be flogged? Oh, I'm going to work that one. I feel a word right there. Injustice compromises within the world of sinfulness and demands acceptability of the system. And it extends mercy to some people, but not mercy to all. And this has been from the beginning of time. Folks, justice is sought for worldly endeavors, while the same justice seekers render injustice to those who profess to be God-fearing Christ followers. Let me just say that again. It's on the board. Can you read it? Do you know why this is important? As we're going to position ourselves for greatness, we can't fear everything in the world. You notice I'm preaching and I said, Lord, cover me. Why? Because injustice says if I declare that I don't see the right morality being extended to the next generation, I better be fearful because I could be attacked. Why should I be attacked when justice says that I get to speak my own conviction, but the world's justice says, no, God, it's an unjust system. Injustice to those who profess to be God-fearing, Bible-believing people, that's where injustice is now coming. And yes, folks, persecution will come to the church. That is why I deliberately know what I'm doing, because if we don't stand up, we will all fall. If we don't know, there's a passage that I love. It says, if you can't run with the footmen, don't get ready to run with the horses. And I'm ready to run with the horses. The world is faced with what is called compassion fatigue, which means people are tired of compassion to others, frustrated with showing mercy. But when we love justice, we naturally give honor and we show mercy to all. And that is what, as believers, we need to do. The scripture, it deeply responds to us today. Jesus demands that we love even the unlovable. That's why it says, love justice and hate evil. Evil is unjust. It is injustice. And so justice dictates that we do not retaliate evil for evil, but we render good to evil. God himself had to forgive Israel. And here's what happened, folks. Israel sinned over and over and over again, wayward and backward and ungodly and built other gods and placated themselves to other gods, even burned their children and the idol of Molech. And yet God still loved them. The church needs to learn how to love everybody. LGBTQ should be loved, but don't tell me to accept all practices, because that is not the word of God. Love is what is demanded. Love, love, hug, love, pray for, walk with, serve, honor, do what is right, but don't change the word of God in your life. That is my cry to the church. If you've got a neighbor that's from the LGBTQ, love them. Got family members? How many got family members and extended family? That's right. Come on. Let me just see the hands. We're too ashamed to say it. How many know people in the LGBTQ that are family or friends? I can put my hand way up there. Father, right now we pray, oh God, that they would feel our love. That God, that they wouldn't have to push for injustices against us because we've been unjust to them. But Father God, I pray that as we love, we would live out our lives in a way that they will honor you and understand the word and where the line is drawn in the word, so that they will honor God in all their ways. And everybody said, Amen. Although Israel was sinning, Ezekiel 18 verse 29, the Lord says, the way of the Lord, Israel said, pardon me, the way of the Lord is not just. Then God answers, are my ways unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the Lord. Repent, turn away from your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you've committed. Get a new heart and a new spirit. We're going to end up today talking about a new heart and a new spirit. Because although Israel sinned in the face of God, God demonstrated his love towards them. That is why Paul in Romans 9 says, what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but from the Gentile. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people. And I will call her my beloved one who is not my beloved. In every place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. The world belongs to God. And our brothers and sisters and those that are in flesh are children of God. But injustice cannot go out from the church, and then we don't expect it to come back at the church. When we begin to live and do what is right, we will be honored for who we are and for the stand we have, and generations will be blessed because of it. The fight is powers and principalities, not people. Let's get the right fight. That's why prayer is so important. We're fighting the wrong systems when we need to be fighting the powers and principalities of the world. So I want to close today by saying, never ignore giving justice to all people, regardless of who they are. Hello? Regardless of who they are. Never ignore giving justice to all people, regardless of who they are. There's another turn I could have taken in this message, and I'll just share it at this point, because it's also pivotal in the message. Each week, when possible, I'd like to share one nugget that I gleaned from the evangelism conference in Amsterdam that I just attended. When I was missing that Sunday, I was in Amsterdam at a world conference. And today's nugget I'm going to share, each week I'll share one, is from Dr. Billy Wilson from ORU, and he summarizes a true justice cry by showing us another real injustice we must focus on. And Dr. Billy Wilson says, the greatest injustice is that billions have never heard the gospel when the church has had it for 21 centuries. The greatest injustice. See, the fight against the church is because we have been so busy building dogmas and dictations and strife and contentions and wars and warriors and I don't like and secular terms that have come into the kingdom. We've spent so much time that now we're fighting people outside when we should have been bringing them towards Christ. That is the greatest injustice. Some of the things we're fighting is because the church created such a barrier between the world and the church. The church was such a low example to the world. The church abused people. Even children were abused. So there are people who despise the church. On that week conference, it was 100 speakers in 5 days. It was a marathon on evangelism in the 21st century. It was speakers from around the world, over 60 or 70, I think, nations of the world leaders. And on the Saturday morning, we were all 900 of us. There was over 4,000, but 900 of us who were evangelists or former evangelists had to take to the streets of Amsterdam and give out tracts. It was daunting, refreshing, and reminding us of our beginnings. So all 900 of us met at the Olympic Stadium, took our tracks, went in groups of 10, went out, and we're giving, Amsterdam's a tough place. That's why they chose Amsterdam. I see you nodding, you know Amsterdam. Very tough place. Because they've been religiously abused. And there are people I met on the street, and you'd say, hi, can I invite you to a concert at the Olympic Stadium? And they took the track, and then they said, that's Christian. And one lady just got so angry, "Don't ever speak to me about Christianity and church." That's what we got on the streets. And then we met some who were reminded that God exists. One gentleman said, "You know, I had a Bible, I read it every day until I came to Amsterdam." His name's Clive. So Clive, I'll pray for you. We met a family, and her family are in Bolivia, and grandmom, daughter, and grandchild, all the women were there, but the men are still in Bolivia. And she said, I don't know God well, but would you pray that he would bring our husbands and our father?" And we stopped and we prayed. We met so many, because it was an amazing day. Ended with a concert at the Olympic Stadium that we invited all the people on the street to. Five bands from around the world, 8-hour concert. It was amazing. That's not the point. The point was this. As we met the people on the street, we found out the church has done damage to the world. And the reason so many people despise even hearing our word is that our life doesn't represent our word. And right here in this church and online, I want you to know this morning, our words and our lifestyle need to match. I mention the LGBTQ a lot because it is necessary. But we have ostracized ourselves from loving people. We have people here who probably have family members they want to just even join and just encourage, but they could never say it to pious Christians because they'd be like, "Oh my God." The attitude and the rejection would be so harsh because we are so vile in understanding the pain of other people's lives. I'm speaking it out today. I'm not saying that I will agree with the lifestyle at all. I don't. I believe in the word of God. But we're not fighting people here. We're fighting powers and principalities. And the church's language needs to match the church's lifestyle. There are some who are so unjust, even to your fellow brothers and sisters, that's why when people in the world see you, they already know you because they read you. We operate sometimes with a lying spirit, a tongue that professes Jesus, 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 and then a lip that curses. It says, "Can good and evil come out of the same mouth?" That's why Jesus says, "Repent." And what we do even amongst each other, we don't realize the little things we've done to each other translates into how we treat others who are not even in the kingdom. There are some of you here, God bless you. You've torn me apart in malls. I've heard about it. I've had to love you and forgive you. And if you would be tearing your pastor apart in malls for 2 years, those that are hearing you in the mall have no place for your God. There's some of you used your telephone to phone and talk and tear down the church. There's some of you that have joined in quote-unquote solidarity with things that are not right, rather than repenting or asking for help. When we do these things, it attaches a spirit to us that people in the world see. So no matter how you preach to them, they can't feel you or understand you. I remember, I'm over today, we're going to come. I remember being in Newfoundland when I was an evangelist. I was going to preach, and I was in a hotel, and they were having a party, and it was too loud. And I went out to ask them to stop. It was a one-level motel. I went and asked them to stop, and it was a wedding. They said they couldn't stop the noise. When it got to 1 o'clock, I'm like, I got to preach in the morning. So I decided I'm going to go tell them again to stop. So this time I went in my house coat and my curlers. Figured, if you're going to go, make a statement. So I walk out towards the lobby, and the wedding's going on. I said, "Ma'am, As you can see, I'm trying to sleep because I got to preach tomorrow. They paid for their wedding. I paid so I could preach. And a young man there, he said, oh, come on, just join the party. I said, no, I've got church. And he said, just wait right here. And so he ran in the party and he came out with his lover. They hugged and began to kiss in front of me because now he sees a pastor who's getting ready to preach in the morning, figures I'll shock the life out of her. So they started to kiss. And so I, just in my curler and nightgown, I grabbed both of them and kissed them on the cheek. I said, I'm from Quebec. We do double kiss, so next cheek. We talked till 3 o'clock in the morning. And they showed up at the church a few months later. But I was able to talk to them and remind them of their own life before God. The young man that came out first, his grandmother was in that church. That's why he wanted to shock me. I'm off today. I'm off my message. I just feel I need to stay off. Do you know why? We're living in a real world with real people, real pain, real problems, real situations. May I declare, I cannot, as the pastor of the church, accept a lifestyle openly in this church that is against the word of God. But I will accept anyone who says, I believe in God and I want God to help me. But they won't get there when they could see your face, your sneer, and you think you can disguise it. You can't disguise to people who are in the world your emotional face. They read your spirit, and they understand a spirit of love, and they understand a spirit of justice. So if we don't clean it up in-house, it will never factor out there. And people are hurting, and people are angry, and families are split. And if we can't take care of ourselves in here, how are we ever going to reach the world? If we want to get to the place of greatness, we must honor justice and reject injustice. And injustice requires repentance. We need to repent for some things we've done. We need to repent for some things we've said. We need to repent for some people we've rejected. We need to repent for the way we've treated each other. We need to repent for the way that we have torn down the church in public. We need to repent because it leaves a message that does not bring healing. The church already has a bad reputation. We don't need to help it. And there are some of you here today, and some of you online, you'll say, oh, it's not me. It is you. It is you. It is you. And we're never going to get there until we're honest. We're going to see healing, and we're going to see love. We're going to see that people can feel to be themselves and leave us to be who we are. But we can't destroy society and expect society not to destroy us. Is there any of y'all out there? The world's concept of justice is not justice for all, but instead it's become justice for a cause and persecution to those who see another cause. So I want to ask us to honor what is right. The church cannot expect the world to know what is right when Christians are not doing what's right in their daily lives. Can I just say that again? I didn't type it in. I should have. There's a couple I didn't type in there. Thank you so much, Jordan. There's a few that I missed that I didn't put in my notes. I wish I had. But I'm going to repeat it till they type it themselves, Jordan. Thank you for the work you're doing there. So give them an applause. They have to track with me. If I were working back there, I wouldn't be back there when I'm preaching because I'm all over. Reject injustice means honoring what's right. It means doing what's wrong. It means that doing what's wrong is injustice. And 1 Peter 3 verse 9 says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. So today, it's your choice to determine how you're going to live out your journey, because we have made a mess. We've made a mockery. We've made pretenses. There are people that need to just repent. Just repent. And instead, we justify. When we justify, it is unjust. It is injustice. We justify. And because we have to be so careful in the church because people may leave, sometimes you want to say to somebody, you're lying. The world would tell you that. Man, that's a lie. If there's a Jamaican, they say, no lie to me, you know. Right? And in the church, you're like, but the world can feel it, see it, know it. We're going to have to love within so we learn to love out. Can I talk about it? The sovereign Lord declares, repent. Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. We can't judge the world for what we didn't repent of. So may God demonstrate His love to us as we demonstrate His love to others. Are you with me today? Christ followers, we got to be God-fearers. There's a world that's so hurting and a church that's so uptight. There's a world, they may want to come for prayer. I can't change people, God changes them. But I can pray for what they're going through in their lives. But I have to have a love first, or else it's just pious. Today, make the choice to leave that hurt behind. The church hurts because the church are people. People hurt because not all people are living in the justice that God declared they should live in. So I'm speaking to those that are in the congregation too. There's some repentance you need to be doing while they are getting their healing. Because some of you may say, oh, I'm okay. No, you're not, because you don't know what you've done and how it's impacted many. But I want you to understand, folks at the altar, I get it. I get you. I am the daughter of a pastor who left the ministry because of the pain of the people and how they abused him. I'm a pastor who stood in this pulpit with many abuse. But I have to look over it so that I can have a right heart when I stand before you. Overlook it. Even if they don't ask your forgiveness, even if they don't repent, you overlook it. Don't carry it anymore because your life is impacted. I don't let anyone take me down. I have one mission. Ain't no devil in the church gonna take me down. People are people. People are broken. God's not broken. Take your healing. Don't leave here and rehearse what they have done and who did and who said, because they've taken too much from your life. Injustice is in the church. And that's why the world is fighting us with their injustice. But when we become a people who really know how to love God and love others and love ourselves, we will bring healing to everyone. So I want you at the altar this morning. I want you to begin to pray and ask the Lord, take it out of me. Take it out. Don't come back here with it next week and say, I still hate the church. The church is broken people, but God is not broken. The church is broken people. The church is angry, rebellious people who sometimes bring their anger and rebellion and take it out on others. But that's not God. Right now, all over the pew and all over the congregation and online, you need to be asking God to forgive you for the things you have done that have hindered someone else or hurt someone else. And you need to make that a public repentance unto God. Right now, let's be praying in this place.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.